All right, are we on? 1 John 5. Again, I'm forced to ask you, did anybody run into a situation yesterday when you believed the witness of men rather than the witness of God?
I got to preach it to other people.
Verse 11, this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. The love of God is in the Son, eternal life is in the Son, and the Son cannot be separated from the Father, nor the Holy Spirit, nor can the Holy Spirit be separated from the Son. So therefore, without the cross, all preaching is heresy. Doesn't matter what name it goes by. Because the cross is your death. There's either vessels of wrath or vessels of mercy. The vessels of wrath are the ones that continue on in self-seeking under any guise. And the vessels of mercy are those who know that they are vessels and know that it's finished. What? Huh?
I love that. I think that's amazing. It's just so total and clarifies everything that it dispenses, gets rid of all confusion.
There's nothing as simple as this.
Because this can be the most complicated pages of information in the world.
To who?
To those who are trying to not preach the cross and make sense out of it.
Yeah.
And make it work for you.
Well, I mean, it's when you he that is born of God cannot sin, doth not sin. But it says any man that says he's without sin is a liar. So if you're not preaching the cross, you're in an unanswerable conundrum. There's only two left in this mystery. There's the bride and the whore. The bride is the one that lives by total and 100% dependence. And the whore lives by cause and effect. The greatest enemy to the mystery of God is how to. Because that'll take you away. If you knew how to, then why would you need to depend on God? So all of your efforts, your entire life to learn how to, have been to exalt the whore. And she, the whore of Babylon, is sitting on the seven mountains, according to the book of Revelation. Those seven mountains aren't overseas somewhere. They're in your mind. And she controls and manipulates the instead of Christ, which is you. Now, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Period. Because we are carnal. We are mortal. Do you know what mortal means? Dead. No, I'm not dead. Look at it. I'm walking around. That's why you mortify the flesh. You reckon yourself crucified. You give no importance. You owe your mind or your emotions nothing. But you can't come to that until you've owed him everything. Now this is then becomes the issue. The next verse. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that if He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now this, whatsoever you ask in My name shall be done for you by My Father which is in heaven. What you say shall be done. But who is the you? You can't, this isn't true until you've come to the end of you. And either that is true or God is a liar. So when you run around and ask for Cadillacs and houses and that any idiot knows isn't the will of God, even healing. I'm not saying you shouldn't ask for healing, but you shouldn't be upset if it doesn't come to pass. Because he's doing something far greater in you than you can ever conceive of. But if you know, and if you ask anything, it shall be done for you. It's given. Now this separates. This is the great separator. And that's why all of the what we've been calling the lack of integrity takes place. Because people hear on television that if they gave $1,000, they'd be healed of multiple sclerosis. They're not healed. They call the ministry after they've made the $1,000 vow and paid it. And what do they say? It's because you have secret sin in your life. Or because you didn't give enough money. Or because you lacked the faith. So what they're doing to children, it's the worst kind of child abuse. I'm talking about spiritual children. It is worse than you just terribly beating your own natural children, beating them onto unconsciousness from a spiritual standpoint. Because it always puts the problem back on you. And so then they go on and live there. It's hypocrisy beyond hypocrisy. We have preachers saying on television, they've never been sick a day of their life. And we find out they've gone into hospitals under assumed names to have operations and treatment. I mean, but they have to keep the illusion. And it's just obscene. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, we know we have the petitions that we've asked for. Now, let's just look at that a minute. I can't, in all integrity, or whatever it was, honesty, say that I know that we will continue doing the door. I can't, in all integrity, say I know we will continue doing investigations. I can't, in all integrity, say I know that the lair will continue. But I can, with all integrity, and know that he hears me, is to say that I know that we will continue. I don't know that Trinity Foundation will continue. Trinity Foundation isn't important. But the body is important. So I know that we will continue. I'm going to pray for my... I wished I was like Paul. Prayed 3 times for the thorn of his flesh to be removed. I've prayed 33 million times for it to be removed. But I know that that's not important. Can you maybe come to a distinction of what you know that you know that you know is the will of God versus... Oh, yeah, that's crap. Oh, I know I'm going to... No, you don't know. Until you know. What?
Well, I know that at some moment that I will see him face to face. And I know that magazines and stuff will melt away as if they never were. And I know that what I will be ashamed of is not having believed. It's like going through hell and thinking your parents have deserted you or something. And then when whatever the trial is over, you find out that they knew exactly what they were doing and it was being done for your benefit, and you were the one who failed by not believing. That's what I was thinking.
Notice that the predicate for this is, and this is the record that God hath given us eternal life. Now again, in our language, in our template, in our mind, that means we're going to live a long, long time. And we've talked about this so long that it's become a cliche. But that's not what it means. Eternal life means a life lived without time dependence. So the only thing that I know that he heareth is those things that are about that which is not time dependent. Therefore, that's the only thing that I can give importance to, give breath to, is that which is not time dependent. And I can run around as a little kid and ask, you know, for candy or that toy over there. But I mean, that's just coming to the end of yourself. But unfortunately, because of what is being taught in the name of our Father, untold numbers of people have left God and have left the Bible because of this BS teaching about. Now that's the people I'm concerned for.
I heard somebody on TV in the last few weeks, some respected mainline thinking theologian person, talking about the state of religion in the world and America in particular. And what he was talking about was this mindset that we are supposed to be healthy, that we are supposed to be happy, and we're supposed to be comfortable. That is the heresy that is destroying faith today. And to think that because you're in pain, something's amiss or hungry.
Okay, let's look at verse 15 carefully. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now that's either a lie or something's going wrong. We know that our mind reads that, even after you've heard me preach about it. Your mind will hear that, well, you know, and there'll be all this double-mindedness. You go from spirit to, you go back and forth from spirit to soul. And the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so you just live in that no zeal, no faith world. Because, not because of God, but because you have made the Holy Spirit your enemy. By continually moving yourself towards self-realization instead of understanding the mystery of God, that you are a vessel. Now, until you know that you know that you know, don't give sleep to your eyes nor rest to your head till you find out the habitation for the Holy One of Israel. And until you know that you're that habitation, and the only way you'll know it is by, you have to experience it. That word has to be made flesh in you. Not, oh, I hope he's there, or someday when I die I'm going to find out. And that's all this. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child. When I became an adult, I divorced the childish things. Do you see the importance of this? What? You, John.
Yes, I see the words.
No, something's going on.
I'm thinking.
Can you share it with us? Remember, there's no such thing as private revelation.
Petition like contrition has to come from the core, has to come from the minutest, most indivisible part of me. Because anything outside of that circle has self as a motive.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the in my name part.
That's what I'm thinking.
Why?
That's what I'm saying.
Anything you ask in my name, that's the in my name part.
Right. See, in his name doesn't mean using the word Jesus as a magic potion or amulet or a credit card. In his name means in his name, not in his name.
I'm hearing this with right in the middle of those words is this is the faith which worketh by love. That mixed in with this. Dispels a lot of yourself, so faith is not a something to work up, it just what is.
Faith is Jesus in you believing in himself.
Yeah.
Because, and why does he believe? Why can he be so confident? Because he's already finished the way.
He knows the Father.
You've got to see this. That's what happened to him when he was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. He completed the way from natural to spirit, for the first time in history. And then he could have stayed there. But instead of the joy that was set before him, he came down from that place and suffered persecution and death and suffering on the cross. And even more so, was buried dead in somehow, and nobody knows, and nobody's been there, and all this crap that people tell you, Jesus was down in hell where he was born again. That's just crap. He said it was finished, the cross. But anyway, my point to you is, if he's your life, then you have nothing in the universe to be concerned with. If he isn't your life, then you better get busy. Because you've got more to do than you could ever dream of. You've got to rebuild the temple. Because for you, Messiah hasn't come. So you've got to go rebuild the temple. You've got to find the ashes of the red heifer. You've got to find a perfect red heifer. You've got to find the perfect unblemished sacrifices. You've got to find the scapegoat. You've got to find the Ark of the Covenant. You've got to find the mercy seat. Because without him having fulfilled every jot and tittle, then the law is the only way to the Father. And since he was the expression, and he was and is the fulfillment of the law, then he is. That's why we are called the I Am people. The peculiar people. Because there can be no modifiers. There can't be young or old, black or white, American or Iraqi.
I was thinking when
male or female.
When John was talking, it's like these words being spoken are spoken to the same place in every one of us. It's all that is the uniqueness that binds us together is that life. Which is really amazing. Which goes along with what you just said, there's no modifiers to it.
If any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them. Wait a minute, I lost it for a minute. If any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. That's really all we do. Now, what is a brother? A brother, well, the human race is the brotherhood of man. All of the children of God. No, they're not. Jesus Christ was his only begotten son. Well, that must... Anybody that names the name of Christ is my brother. No, they're not, because that can't be tested. It's too gray. It's too general. That's why it's tested in the place of abiding. The Seder. In my Father's house are many mansions, and my Father's house are many satyrs, or minions. Because that's where the mystery is tested. And if you're not smart enough to open your heart and open your guts to the very brethren that are with you, I don't know what you're going to do. Because otherwise, you think all this stuff, but it never... It's the garment of his righteousness being spotted by your flesh. But that's the mystery of the red heifer, which cleanses you from touching the death, is that it's a body function. It's a female. And on that female, not even the lightest feather of a napkin could have never borne any weight. And we then are the fulfillment of the ashes of the red heifer. He wasn't a male, I could spend all year on this. But that's why you must be totally open. Otherwise, the waters can't do anything. Because you've damned it. Remember, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. That doesn't mean... You don't deny him by saying he doesn't exist. You deny him by saying you exist. Can you see the whole world is lying in deception? And the deception is self-realization. That's the essence of sin. Now, the problem that we have is you've spent a lifetime building this wall so that you can survive. And that's the wall of Jericho. The fragrant city, the walled city. And you've got all of the skulls of all of the people that you've slain by withdrawal from, on the outskirts of that wall, and it's impenetrable. So if you withhold from us, that means you hate us. And if you hate, you will kill by withdrawing. Eventually, you'll just take off. When John said earlier in 1 John, he said, they were not from us, but they were not of us. For if they were of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. He's not talking about people that are saved. He's talking about people in a Seder. Is this too controversial? Is this too... Can you see why your little private lives and private universes and private realities are so friggin' evil? Can you see why the modern church has been hijacked by numbers? And it's been... not just the modern church, it's us. We're hijacked because we allow our fear of the response of men, or our desire for privacy, to just cause us death.